Hey, what's poppin'? Been a while.
Been a while.
Been a while.
Been a while.
Yeah, here's what's poppin'. Mark's here from Berkeley. Joe's here from St. Clair Shores. Jay's here all the way from Plymouth. I'm Drew from, where am I from? Ferndale. This is the Drew and Mike podcast. Yay! And we have so much to cover tonight, I don't think we can possibly even begin to cover it all, even if we edited, as if we would edit something. God, where to start? I know where I want to start. Completely off the grid with Pepsi reducing sugar in 2/3 of its drinks by 2020. Is this so we hate Pepsi even more?
It's so they can be health conscious and stay in schools.
But why don't they make the drink taste good?
Well, that's what makes it taste good is the sugar.
Wait, Jay, you like Pepsi, don't you?
I don't give a shit, really.
Really? Pepsi or Coke, same difference?
It's fluid to me, so I don't care.
Wow, it's fluid. What a robot. It is fluid.
Jay Pence, right?
Yeah.
I think Pepsi is only alive because of the mob. There's mob involvement. Tell me if it sounds like Trump. I'm convinced that in Vegas, for example, you cannot get a Coke in Vegas. I think the mob runs Vegas, and they just keep Coke off the shelves.
Are you saying that they make deals? They're returning into Infowars.com.
Well, you know, they make deals with the casino to be exclusive carriers, just like they do with the restaurant.
Why else would anyone drink Pepsi if they weren't forced to?
PepsiCo got huge, too, because they bought, like, Frito-Lay. They owned Frito-Lay for a while. They owned Taco Bell.
If they're going to bully their way into all these places and not let you have a Coke, then why don't they fucking make their drink taste good?
Do you want to know how I know the history of PepsiCo?
Your McDonald's background.
We were not allowed to have those products in our house.
At your house? Was that part of the deal?
My dad would not allow it.
The mob actually gave you shit at your house?
Because they own competitors. And I never understood it because we would go to Taco Bell. Rarely, but we would go there. I don't know. Al's got Al rules.
Pepsi is the worst. I would never, ever drink it if I wasn't forced to because there was no Coke allowed.
So you know what's funny?
Joe, you don't like Pepsi, do you?
No.
Isn't it the worst?
Joe's an RC man. He likes Royal Crown.
Oh, Royal Crown. How many times have you heard this? Can I have a Coke? No, we only have Pepsi. Oh!
Yeah.
I've asked waitresses that all the time, people say that.
Get Pepsi?
I'll get Diet Pepsi if I have to drink Pepsi. I ask them, too, well, have you ever worked at a place that only had Coke? Oh, yeah. Do people go, oh! No, not really.
Because no one asks for Pepsi. They ask for Coke.
There are a couple people that like Pepsi, but, I mean, a couple out of 315 million?
There's another Al rule. If he asks for Coke, and if they don't have Coke, he will not order cola.
Does he get water?
I don't know what he does then.
I got to talk to Al about his rules. I think I need to reset my rules.
He likes rules. He's a law and order dad. I prefer Coke over Pepsi, but I prefer Diet Pepsi over Diet Coke. That make any sense whatsoever?
Yeah, possibly, but I don't like either one of them. I mean, they're just awful.
The diets?
If they didn't have the mob behind them, they'd be so finished.
What do you do with Mountain Dew then, Mark?
Oh, man, I'm mellow yellow all the way.
People do love Mountain Dew, though.
Yeah, they do. Well, there's so much sugar in it. How could you not like it?
Huge seller.
Yeah. Here's something. This just popped out at me. You know, I've heard about this for years. I've even heard a couple of strange pieces of audio, and I always kind of believed it, but I had no reason to, so I never really spoke of it. Shep Smith came out as gay. Shepard Smith from the Fox Network.
Yeah. Do you think Roger Ailes knew?
He says he did know, and that he was very kind about it. He wasn't a problem at all. He says he loved him like a father.
Huh.
The love Smith had for his old boss is why it was so difficult for him to deal with the network's sexual harassment scandal this past summer.
That's funny. I didn't find that to be surprising. At all.
That
Shepard Smith was gay.
Well, we've heard it, haven't we? I mean, haven't you heard that?
So. Guy, I wish we had my favorite piece of audio for him when he was talking about Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
She used to be J-Lo. He called her, like, blowjob or something.
It sounded to me like he almost did it on purpose.
Yeah.
I swear. It was so... Anyway.
Why did he come out now?
His come out as a gay man.
The timing was right.
The popular fact, because of the election is so overwhelming, all information that he just figures he's ninth page news and nobody will care. They'll still think he's straight.
Then it's not about him.
I don't know. I have no idea. Let's see.
J-Lo's new song, Jenny from the Block, all about Lopez roots. about how she's still a neighborhood gal at heart. But folks from that street in New York, the Bronx section, sound more likely to give her a curb job than a blow job or a block party. The New York
Post.
Sound
fake?
Sorry about that slip up there.
Yeah, it does sound fake.
I have no idea how that happened, but it won't happen.
Did it on purpose.
Oh, apparently he came out because they were asking him about Roger Ailes.
Yeah, it's an interview he just gave. This must have been planned, though, for whatever reason.
Listen to this line from TheAdvocate.com. Shepard Smith has long been reported among Out Magazine's Power 50 list, though he never come out.
So they knew he was gay.
So Out Magazine knew he was gay, but he never came out. Now I want to know who's on the Power 50 list.
I'll Google it.
The Power Bottom 50 list. News anchor number. Where's the list? Power 50. Oh, here we go. Wait, I don't know. Anderson Cooper, maybe? Don Lemon?
Yeah.
Is every national
male? I just wonder if anybody who's out or who's in the closet is in the Power 50. That would be kind of interesting.
Rachel Maddow. That's weird. All these news people.
But we know these people. Yeah.
Does journalism attract homosexuals? I mean, or is it just because it's
fairly... The arts.
Yeah, okay. That's not... Journalism is an art, really?
Yeah, I think it's in the arts. Kind of, it's liberal arts, I suppose, right?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I just think that's kind of weird. Not weird, just odd that they would attract that large of a percentage.
Well, I mean, would you expect to see a gay person in engineering or in journalism?
Yeah, I guess journalism, I suppose.
I'm not broad brushing here, but I don't know how else to put it.
I'm sure the stats would bear that out.
Hey, the Barbie twins are defending Donald Trump.
Oh, okay, great.
The two centerfold twins.
Oh, cool.
Were all over each other. He's Playboy.
How are they defending him?
They said he was a perfect gentleman at parties, clubs, and casino events. Never took advantage of beautiful women who were all over him. Someone else defended him, too, but that's... I don't know. What's the point of defending him?
Caitlyn Jenner's on the Power 50.
Hot.
Okay. I'm not enough for the Power 50. His wife's defending him now.
Oh, look at the Barbie twins. Whoa!
Melania. Man. Melania's defending
those
him
tubes.
Now.
Tubes. Melania. What does Melania know?
She said the word boy about 80 times.
Yes, boy just, talk.
And then threw Billy Bush under the bus. Almost literally
What'd
under the bus.
What did she say about Billy Bush?
That he was egged on. Like,
oh,
it was,
come
Billy
on.
Was kinda like,
not egged on.
He was trying...
Billy Bush can egg me on all day, and I'm not going to say, yeah, I want to go grab chicks by the pussy.
I'm entitled because I'm rich and famous, and I can just make out with chicks. I just realized this. A 59-year-old man, because that's what Trump was at the time, had to look like a big boy to 34-year-old Billy Bush.
Well, actually, I think he was kind of acting like a big boy, but I think it was his decision to do that, not Billy Bush egging him on.
I just think that's ridiculous anyway. I got to impress little Billy Bush here.
Oh, the whole thing's so stupid. Before we start down the election road, I just want to point something out. I don't know if you saw this. There was a story in the Detroit News on Sunday. Charles Ramirez did it about Bozo the Clown making an appearance.
Oh, okay.
But not as Bozo, as Art Servi, who played Bozo.
No one cares if it's Art Servi. Let's
no, I know. It's
Bozo.
I immediately said, who cares? You know, nobody cares. I mean, I heard the drop playing in my head.
Wait,
actually.
That's not Bozo. Harlan,
Well, this guy was Bozo for 9 years. And this was in, let's see. I think
it's Bozo!
It might have been before that guy you're talking about. I think it was like 66 to 75 or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, here's the thing. Art Servi, you know, Bozo Clown, will be signing autographs at a conference in Windsor later this month. Who wants Bozo the Clown's autograph?
Tom Mazzoli. I could totally see Tom.
Here, but Tom and who else?
I'm going to ask Tom. I'm going to text Tom and see.
Yeah, tell him Bozo's going to be making an appearance and you're going to be there with Charlotte. Does he want his autograph?
Let's see. I got to set him up.
Yes.
Let's see. Did you watch Bozo when you were a kid? Did they have that in Jersey? Okay. We'll see what he says.
I think he's more of a Midwestern thing. I think he's a Chicago, Michigan, Indiana, dealio, more than anything.
Chicago.
Yeah, wasn't it
big
from
Chicago?
It was on WGN all the time.
You remember the grand prize game?
Oh, yeah.
That was so dumb, the grand prize game.
I know, it was really dumb. You were throwing the ping pong ball in the pails.
Now, that was rigged. That was a rigged game.
Did you ever
game.
See anybody get to the sixth one?
No, because it's a rigged game.
I don't think anyone ever got to six. I remember just going apeshit when somebody got to the fourth one.
Did you ever go see it in person?
No. Right. You had to wait 50 years for tickets. You were, really? You were a senior citizen by the time you got tickets. That's what they used to say. It takes 2 years to get tickets for Bozo. Well, wasn't that fucking great?
What's the life?
Remember the magic arrows?
No.
To pick people from the grand prize game? They'd go around the crowd, and then it would land on somebody. They've landed on a mom. They go, oh, it's a mom, and they have to do it over again.
Oh, man. That just proves that just proves that's not rigged.
There were two arrows that were, like, the camera would go wacky around the crowd. The magic arrows would be there, and then poof. The music would stop, and the magic arrow, whoever it was on, was in the grand prize game, I think. And then if it was on a mom, it was like, oh, it's a mom. But there was never a dad there, too. How different life
how
was.
How could there be two...
two arrows, like, pointing...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Oh, okay. So kind of framed...
You don't remember the magic arrows?
I don't. Willard Scott was the first Bozo, apparently.
He was? Really? Yeah.
What did you say this Joker's name was?
Restart the grand prize game. I think it'd be cool.
What's that?
Bring back the grand prize game.
Sure. We'll do it out in the sidewalk.
Can't you
from
see
the
some
studio
asshole saying that?
True.
It's the fabulous Barbie townhouse.
Oh, the full show?
Oh, no.
When you put
they got the magic
with
arrows
all
here.
This furniture, you can take
oh, this is
going to
kill me.
This is the
magic arrows.
Out on the patio for a while. Then back up to
what
the
was this Joker's name that's doing
a commercial? Art Servey?
He isn't even on the Wikipedia page for Bozo the Clown.
Is Bob somebody? Bob Bell? Bob Bell. Yeah, it was Bozo for a long time.
Yeah.
And now back to Bozo's circus.
Larry Harmon.
Oh, Larry Harmon, forever.
Larry Harmon claimed that more than 200 actors have portrayed the clown.
Because right now it's time to play our grand prize game.
Wait, is that Frasier? Oh, God, what's his name?
Just a moment, we'll know who our lucky players are here under the big top because we're about to select one boy and one girl by the tips.
Frasier Thomas?
To those magic electronic arrows. I'm all set if you are, Mr. Tom. Let's look.
Where's the magic arrows? They're there! It's a mom! It's a mom!
Those are on mommy.
Now do it again. It happened. How awesome.
There's a girl. There's a girl
it's
right
a girl.
There.
Yeah, I think it's a trans girl. It's a trans kid.
She's currently transitioning.
You know what? This Bozo show is different than the one I grew up with. This must be the Michigan version.
Tom wrote back. Bet your ass I had the Bozo punching bag. So I'm going to ask him. All right, cool! Exclamation point.
Oh, the arrow's on a black kid.
He's coming.
I never remember seeing a black kid in the grand prize game. That's weird. Do you remember seeing a black kid on Bozo ever?
No, never.
God, they couldn't even integrate Bozo?
Yeah, this is room 77, so it's probably, like I said, later than the ones we remember over in WG.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, of course, I've been watching it in 1977. Thank God.
What's your first name?
Marcus.
Marcus?
How old are you, Marcus? Marcus is 8, and Rachel is 8. That's right, both of them made. Hey, Rachel, you're over on the side of bucket number 6. You take that
I wrote Tom back. I wrote, cool. And then I wrote, he's coming to town. I was thinking of going with Charlotte. Should I get you an autograph, too? See what he says.
It would be a reluctant no thanks. Or, oh, yeah.
Could be Marcus today. Could be Rachel over here.
Yeah, there's a black kid. The magic arrows hit a black kid. I was shocked.
You're waiting to find out.
They're playing the grand prize game?
Yeah. I don't ever
is the racist
seen...
producer that chose Marcus, is he sweating?
Mark, he's giving me a big, deep shit at the end of the show.
Because Marcus is easily going to beat Margaret, right?
I think he's going to, yeah.
Oh, they had to get their at-home, remember the at-home player?
Tom.
Oh, there's an at-home player? That's why they reach in there?
Yeah, because whatever prizes win, they're at-home players.
Yeah, I had one in there, and I used to think they'd call my name once in a while. And in romper room, when she'd look in the mirror at the end and say, I see, you know, Jay and Mark, she'd never fucking say Drew. Ever. Did you have romper room as a kid? Do you remember that?
I remember. I didn't watch it much.
Can't remember the bitch's name that was the poster.
And lives in Romeoville, Illinois.
So what? This game is so stupid. This show is so stupid. It's like, who fucking cares? Why are you wasting my time with some asshole at home?
Tom's really... He wrote, "I'll join you,"
which he's overly enthusiastic
really
about it.
That doesn't kind of answer.
He's
really
going to join you.
So I wrote, "But it's tomorrow. I was going to grab Drew an autograph and just want to know if you wanted one too."
He wants one, clearly.
You ever see once in a while some kid would totally blow the first bucket?
Oh, yeah, I think I'd seen that.
It's like right at their feet, but
that is
mind-boggling. You know, and the ball would just go bouncing all over the studio.
How could you possibly fuck up number one? That's ridiculous. I mean, two is a gimme. You know, these prizes always suck, too. It's like you got to get to number four to get anything worth a shit.
All right, we're ready for number three, he says. Drop it right in there.
Oh, that looked pretty easy. You know, I want to stop because I think this is so stupid, but I want to see what these kids do. I don't know why.
I'll just, like, keep rolling. I'll keep the volume down. We can watch
Did they always let two kids play?
Yeah, they always had a boy and a girl.
Okay. She made like, four. Easily.
Should we place our bets here?
Now you want a pair.
I think she's going out. That four looked easy to me, didn't it?
Yeah.
She's going out on six.
So Art Servey, by the way, was the Detroit bozo.
Okay.
Bucket number five. Ooh,
wow.
This game's clearly rigged.
It looks really easy.
A TV Pong.
Maz is writing me back. I'm on pins and needles for that.
It's not just a name, it's their way of doing business.
Oh, here you go.
TV Pong game.
Hey, where? You want an autograph? He wants to go with you tomorrow.
You know what's inside that bucket? $19 and a handsome.
Let's see if she can get six. And they always put. Remember, they always put money in the bucket too.
They put like put a $19 coin in there.
You'll have two if you make this. You'll have two. Now, won't you take your choke? For goodness' sake,
choke!
This is bucket number six, right there.
Choke! Oh! Oh!
Suck!
Samantha J, who is 10.
Like the kid's going on three. The other kid, three or four. Not because I'm racist.
Maz wrote, "I'd love one, personalized, of course." So I asked him to Tom or Tommy.
Not to his kids either.
Oh, God, no. Of course not. Well, that's kind of why I wrote that, to see if he changes it.
It's funny, too. You get the ones that get, like, out the bucket five like her. She's always got a ton of shit to carry back to the crowd.
Yeah, she does.
All right, Marcus.
I think Marcus is going out fast. I don't know why. I hope not.
He wants it signed to Maz.
I'd love to know what happened to Marcus. Wouldn't it be great if you could watch these reruns and know?
Like, where are they now?
Marcus is on probation for tax evasion. What's the chick's name?
Margaret.
Margaret's in a halfway house after 6 years of heroin addiction and rehab.
Oh, his toes were over the line.
Oh, kids were always over the line. Did they ever bust anyone for being over the line?
No. No,
it's a rigged game.
Yeah, it sucks. What's next? Make three.
Yeah, Marcus is like, fuck that gift.
That gift sucks.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs?
A pack of hot dogs.
I made three.
Wait a sec. So I'm reading this Art Servey story.
Yeah.
He's coming to Windsor, right?
Yeah, to sign autographs.
See who else is going to be there with him?
Who?
Aaron Moran.
Aaron Moran.
Tony Cunningham.
They're paying Aaron Moran?
Apparently. And Dave Newell.
Who's that?
Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
What?
Which I always thought was the creepiest character in TV.
So you're telling me
Mr.
that...
Mr. McFeely, the friendly mailman?
That is
by the
ridiculous.
Neighborhood
way
oh, too
he
often.
Fucked up. Oh. Nice going, Marcus.
I got the bucket for
that sucked, Marcus. In Romeoville, Illinois. Right, please turn this off or we'll watch the whole thing.
So he probably suffered depression from that, like you said, and went down the wrong road.
Could be. I don't know. I have a bad feeling about Marcus.
Chick whipped him.
Mark.
And I think she's going to be troubled, too. I think she's really holding something inside. I don't know what it is. Okay, so Maz, we need an autograph for Maz. I'll make a fake one.
Here's some comments on the Bozo story. Bozo could fill an arena in his day. I saw him at Chrysler Arena in Ann Arbor as a child. Or maybe it was Kobo. Filled it! Congrats, Bozo!
Oh, my God. This collection of people will have to be... I'd love to know the psychographics of the group that will show up to see Bozo. I mean, they have to be some of the sappiest people who've ever walked the earth, don't you think?
Maybe it includes Scott Vetter, who wrote, "Congratulations on the award! You deserve it!" or Michael Buehler, who wrote, "So great to see that Bozo is alive and well. Mr. Servey, you entertained our neighborhood in the 60s and Channel 9. Thank you for that. And thanks for standing up for fun and funny clowns."
Oh, my God. The show sucked. How can any... Is there anyone in there that writes, who gives a fuck about Bozo?
Well, there's one joker who wrote, "Don't be jumping on the back of the bus. Times have changed." Because that clown, scary clown that jumped on the back of the bus here in Detroit. Holy shit. Wow.
So four comments, that's it?
Yeah.
It's been up there for days.
Since October 13th.
That's how many people give a flying fuck about Bozo. Four people.
Do you want me to comment on there? I'm not going to.
You could say...
I'm not going to.
I would say something like, "I'm shocked that four people are interested enough in this article to even comment." I'm doubly shocked that you covered this. And I'm triply shocked that he's signing autographs.
Well, that was, you know what? That was the Detroit News story on it. The Free Press has their own version.
How many comments on that
one? I think you read the Free Press one, right? 17.
Whoa!
Oh, man. Heads are going to roll at the news. They only have four comments.
What's that say about the Free Press? Wait, the news has 17 comments?
No, the news had four.
So the Free Press has the real sack of shit readers, apparently. Just saps.
"Bravo, Art. I worked at CKLW from 1968 to 1976. Stop. Art was, and likely still is, a very funny guy. Our paths crossed occasionally for a few years after that. I trust he'll recall my name."
Oh, get over yourself. My God. Get a room with yourself.
I think Jerry's upset they didn't interview him for the article.
Jesus. I mean, make it all about you. Hey, you, that's all you care about.
Rather than sling mud, I'll share a memory from my childhood when I lived on Lake Point, Detroit at Harpo.
Who is going to sling mud besides me?
Well, I wonder now if there's mud slinging down below. So I'm just totally skimming that. She wrote
some shit on Art Servey?
"I was in fourth grade and in brownies. My troop got to go to Windsor to be a part of the Bozo show. I'm 53. I'll never forget the memory. Bozo's a positive icon for children everywhere."
You'll never forget? My God. I hope you have a great memory.
Here's another one. My dad
took me
imagine
to see...
never forgetting that?
Yeah. Maybe it's like... What's her name? The actress from Taxi?
What a limited life of joyous events you've had. Maybe you would never forget that.
Maybe it's Mary Lou Henner.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
"My dad took me to see Bozo the Clown. It was pouring rain. The crowd was so large, my dad put me on his shoulders to see him. I was 4 years old. My dad passed away."
That's a bum.
"So this is a great memory."
Boy, okay.
Wait, you don't remember things at pass. Four? I hope not.
We're going to let it pass. She's over-emotional because of the father's passing. So she's revering things that weren't that worth revering, probably, just because her dad was involved.
"I watched Bozo the Clown many years ago, back when people were civil to one another. There's always a prick in the crowd when that screws things up. When will we learn?" What?
Oh, my God. Heavy.
Heavy. "I won a six-pack of Orange Crush from them when my Cub Scout dad visited the show."
Yeah, see what piece of shit gifts they gave on the Bozo
1970?
Show? All the fucking money they had, they were raking in, and that's all they could give away, a six-pack of... Oh, God, how lame.
"Art Servey is awesome! Will Mr. Houdini be there? He's still kicking it, I think."
Mr. Houdini, who was that? I don't even remember Mr. Houdini.
Listen, this is his dick. "Hey, Bozo, Debbie Stabenow called and wants her hair back." Why was that person compelled? Five thumbs up, by the way, for that comment. Why was that person compelled to comment? Oh, man.
Is somebody going to comment about having an abnormally pink wiener for Bozo, too?
Maybe.
For his orange hair.
Drew Lane. No. Gotta love it. I'm sorry I'm overseas. What? Apparently they wanted to go see
him. Wanted to go. Oh, how pathetic.
"I saw the headlines and thought they were talking about our president."
Oh, please. "Yeah, and I guess you'll be in the Ambrosia room tomorrow night, eh? Try the veal."
This guy just wrote hashtag clown lives matter. Oh, my.
Oh, geez.
Not funny.
Sadly, Bozo does not have a Twitter page for us to follow.
People,
maybe we should probably create one and just put the...
I think it's kind of hilarious that Jay checked for a Bozo Twitter page.
Oh, here's another one. People would be following. "When I read the headline..." This is from somebody in Naples. "When I read the headline, I thought they were talking about Hillary's visit to Detroit. That headline should have said...
Lying elitist bigot fraud Hillary visits Detroit to spew more corporate BS.
Oh, my God.
Posting that on a story about Bozo.
Do you know in Michigan football stories, Trump and Hillary will come up in people accuse people what? Of being Trump followers, like in a Michigan football. I swear to God.
Oh my
if you read
God.
Comments enough, you'll see this shit, and you will not believe it.
All right. I mean, I'm just going to – can I just pull, like, the most recent one up and, you know, scan it real quick?
Sure.
This one could have good comments anyway. Kyle Callis. You know who
oh,
he is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He
ragged on State.
Yeah.
So well, not
yeah.
really. He's glad they're losing.
Yeah. Whatever. Which, but that'll be on their
bulletin. Oh, Bill, big time. He shouldn't have said that. Could cost him a game.
Any other year was never a guarantee he was going to win this great game. Lots of hype leading up to it and all kinds of talking going on. But this year's different. We shall take all the trash talk and the beatdown we will get and work on our next game. Play great, U of M, and may Sparty survive to play again.
Oh my God.
Relax, dude.
Jeez.
And then the next guy. Back to being a bottom feeder where Michigan State belongs. That's a comment on that guy's comment.
Hey, little brother.
Jesus Christ.
And Mike Hart jumps in there and just throws it right back out.
I know. Oh, God. Well, I don't see any Trump-Hillary, but it's
okay.
Still
no, you'll see. I swear, in the strangest places, you'll see somebody being accused of being a Trump lover. And then it'll be thrown the other way. And speaking of, definitely, this is a story that's not getting a ton of attention, but it's getting a fair amount. I think it's definitely worth mentioning. Amy Schumer, apparently, I don't know how, I guess she was doing Trump jokes or something, and maybe there were a couple boos.
Yeah.
And so she said, can someone come up here and tell me why they're voting for Donald Trump?
Did you watch it? There's video. I don't know if you watched it.
It was on Inside Edition today.
Okay. There's like a 15-minute video, and I watched almost all of it.
Oh, is it worth watching the whole thing?
No, because the audio is not that great.
That was my problem with the audio.
Here's the problem. Well, you go finish explaining what happened.
And so I didn't even see what the guy said, but basically it turned into a sort of a, you know, oh, really? You like Trump and people booing and her kind of politicizing a fucking comedy show.
It turned into that guy just wouldn't vote for Hillary. He was more a never Hillary guy. That's why.
Okay, I couldn't understand what he was saying, so I didn't know what he said.
Which kind of goes against her point, you know, and so she kind of dismissed him, but she was very here's the problem with it. She was actually kind of diplomatic about it, which it's a comedy show. If you're going to rip on the election, then rip on the election. If you're going to rip on the candidates, then rip both of them. Don't have a forum and invite somebody up to figure out.
No,
like
she's a comedian. Make jokes. Yeah. Make people laugh. They don't have to agree with you. Did she really think? I think she was shocked there were that many Trump supporters at her show. I really do.
That's possible, but reading from tweets of people that were allegedly there, they said the people that left, there were a couple that said they didn't leave, but people around them left, were just exhausted about the 15-minute commentary on the election as opposed to doing jokes or the bits that she writes.
Oh, I didn't know the commentary lasted that long.
Yeah.
Well, she was encouraging people to leave. She's like, go. And then,
well, she does that, which is, she's already got their money. Kind of rude, but she's already got
their
money.
Fans who paid to see her. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's your lifeblood.
Yeah, this person said the arena sits around 20,000, so 200 people left. Other people were disappointed by Schumer's position on the election and gun control, which now, you know, she's very.
Why would she?
Well, you know why, though, right? Remember the shooting down in Louisiana? The guy killed two people during her movie.
Yeah.
So it's one that hits home to her, and you almost can't. Lame, regardless of how you feel about it, which
I still would not make it part of my comedy
show. No, but you almost, at least I would almost accept that from her now because she's been so vocal and in front about it. Anyway, this guy says, I don't want to hear that. We wanted to have a good night without distractions with the politics. And then this guy's wife said it's a bit much. They both said that she has the right to her opinion, but they just thought she went on too long. The show became political. I definitely didn't come to hear this on another guy.
Next!
Yeah,
people were pissed and were like barking stuff at her. And she was asking them, throw them out. Get them out of here. If you can't be quiet, get out of here.
I think you want escapism if you're going to go to that.
Absolutely.
No, I, you know.
No, I think she fucked up. I think she's a little big for her britches.
Yeah, well, she's the it girl right now, so whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I actually like.
Do you think she's going to lose any fans over it? And I would think her fans would be,
I don't know,
behind her 100% anyway.
I think when somebody jumps from the position she was in to the position she just came into in the last couple of years, that's when people can really start not liking you and
wanting to see you
get knocked down.
Yeah, it can backfire.
And when I saw the movie with Bill Hader.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Trainwreck.
Trainwreck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I found myself getting really annoyed. I thought all the comedy movies about putting him down. Basically, almost every funny line she had was about putting him down. I was kind of getting tired of it. Like, you know, if you're with another couple and the girl's always putting the guy down or vice versa, it's just so awkward and uncomfortable. I started to feel like, I mean, it's really stupid. I know it's a movie, but it just started to annoy me a little bit.
I liked the movie. I thought it was kind of funny.
I thought it was okay.
I thought the Birbiglia character was great, but then once again, a guy being put down. You know, she kept ragging on him.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's redemptive because she realized she's the one that was the train wreck kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a very, I mean, it's that that formulaic movie, that plot line is extreme, not your average romantic comedy. And I thought it had its funny moments, but I did kind of sick of that. And I find that's a lot of her comedies, putting guys down, but that's what, she's a chick comedian, so I don't know what else, I don't know what she's
Here's a couple other tweets to talk about. Regarding her show last night. Amy Schumer asked all sexual assault survivors to stand up in the audience, and then people left. Powerful moment. And disgusted at the walkouts.
Wait, she asked sexual assault victims to stand up?
Yeah. To acknowledge them.
What?
People left because she talked about politics. When she mentioned the victims, the whole arena cheered and clapped, and the group next to me left after that moment.
I don't get it. I think that's crazy. I mean, for her, I just think that's, I don't know why she would want to immerse herself in this mess.
Well, I don't, you know, she's always been political. I just think there's so much stuff to be made fun of on both sides.
Oh, to make fun of, sure.
Yeah, oh, there you go, to make
but
fun
I don't,
of.
I don't think she's, it's not like she's telling jokes, though.
Yeah, she could have done
a sexual assault victims to stand up. Who wants to see go to a comedy show to see that?
She could have done a string of jokes on Trump, and people probably would have just let it go.
Yeah, no, sure. And I would do some on Hillary, too, or else people are going to say, oh, it's just a Trump-bashing joke session. I didn't go to see that. I think when you're in comedy, funny should always be hopefully the end result.
Yeah,
I don't get it. People are defending Donald Trump. Isn't that great? He has some friends out there
defending
in the female gender.
Defending him from what?
The Barbie twins. Said he was an absolute gentleman.
Yeah, defending him from what, though?
From, I guess they're saying that he doesn't sexually assault every woman that he he's around.
Well,
every hot woman.
Congratulations to not sexually assault every single woman.
And then get this. Chelsea Cooley competed in Donald Trump's Miss Universe competition in 2005. Donald came into the dressing room, but there was nothing inappropriate about what he said or did.
Oh, okay.
And she says, she praised him for his kindness while questioning the credibility of a string of women who have rocked the tycoon's political campaign. Chelsea Cooley competed in she formed a friendship with a billionaire reality star. He became her business mentor. She shared warm feelings for the under fire real estate mogul. Says she will always be grateful to Trump for the kindness he showed her.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
And then the Barbie twins, of course, were very credible. Trump, by the way, has brought up Joe Biden now and his history of being a little too touchy-feely.
Yeah.
Which there is kind of a history.
Oh, there's
of that.
That infamous picture of him sitting in the booth with a biker chick sitting on his lap.
Remember that picture?
It's a real famous one.
Well, there's also the one where, who is the female cabinet member? I think that he's rubbing her shoulders.
Oh, I don't know.
Really awkward. Oh, is it awkward?
I always laugh. The rubbing shoulders always makes me think of Bushy when Bushy rubbed Angela Merkel's shoulders.
Oh, yeah. And she hated
it. Head of Germany. Yeah.
That was weird.
By the way, Billy Bush is officially done at NBC and the Today Show.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Did they give a statement?
They just said they reached a settlement. So, done.
Did he make a comment?
No, nothing yet.
Okay. They also referred to Biden placing his hands on the shoulder of Delaware Senator Chris Coons' daughter and whispering in Maggie Coons' ear during the ceremony, attracting enough chatter in D.C. that Senator Coons got asked about it during an appearance. Does she think the vice president is creepy? Chris Wallace asked the senator point blank. No, Chris. She doesn't think the vice president is creepy.
What did Trump say about Biden? Uncle Joe. Oh, I remember. I remember this Biden one with that daughter.
Yeah. It was also a clip of Biden giving Hillary Clinton an extended hug on an airport tarmac, another classic Biden moment captured on tape. He rubbed the shoulders of Stephanie Carter, wife of Defense Secretary Ash Carter, during his swearing-in, also whispering in her ear.
He likes to whisper.
I mean, they make it sound like he's rubbing her shoulder going, I've got the biggest cock. Any idea how good this cock would feel?
Gross. Gross. Well,
whispering in their ear while he's rubbing them. I mean, what else is he saying?
Probably because he's been caught on open mic so many times. This is a big fucking deal. Remember that?
Oh, there he is. That's with...
with Coons?
That is fucking creepy. The senator's daughter?
Yeah. That's like during the swearing in, right?
Yeah.
Son Will and my daughter Ava already mentioned.
He was all over that chick in the selfie. Jeez.
Hey Charlie, give that kid a smile.
No, shut up.
I need a hug, kid. Come on. I need a hug. God love you.
It's your reputation.
He's all over all the chicks.
Yeah. Think of how wacky this whole election would be if he was running against Trump.
What I like most is getting to see their children.
Ooh, he's got his arm around her hips. Oh, yeah, sitting in his lap. Ooh, man, the boyfriend looks pissed, doesn't he? Oh, whatever.
It's a moment of real joy.
Isn't that voice? Can't you hear him going, oh, my cock, it feels so good.
Oh. Ugh.
You want me and you know it.
It'd be a perfect fit.
Oh, that kiss. She did not look like she liked that kiss at all.
She dodged it.
Yeah, she's turning away. He's whispering in her ear, and then he goes for the kiss, and she's moving away. Oh! Oh!
All right. It has nothing to do with Republican and Democrat. It has to do with having the opportunity.
That's, oh, God. She has hands on Hillary. Jesus. Look at all these pictures, my God. I mean, this guy has no concept of personal space whatsoever.
Why is he attacking Biden? Biden's not running. Biden's not even going to work for Hillary.
Let's see. What did Trump say? Trump, anyone retweeted a video. Oh, he retweeted a video posted by New York's broadcaster Mark Simone titled, Watch Joe Biden's Long History of Grabbing, Kissing, and Groping Women Who Are Cringing.
Hey, speaking of him.
You're set to mood music.
Speaking of him retweeting, did you see NBC News last night?
I think I did, yeah.
A brilliant idea to track down some of the people he's retweeted. Have you seen that?
Some of the people that Trump's retweeted?
Yeah, they found two of them and talked to them.
What'd they say?
Well, the one guy. Well, here, let me see if I can find the audio of it. The one guy's.
What were they trying to get out of that?
Well, just the idea that this presidential candidate is retweeting regular, normal, everyday Americans, not just
I mean, you figure they certainly
not just white supremacists.
You figure they'd be a little worked up about it. It's kind of exciting.
Believe me, these people were pumped. I think the first guy, it's more about the shock. You know, he tweets this thing out, and then next thing you know,
yeah, Donald Trump retweeted
all these mentions. Yeah.
And that is really weird.
And when I tweet, you know, not that many people are watching our tweets. When I tweet, they watch.
Oh my God.
He talks so fast sometimes.
It just seems so stupid, doesn't it? A presidential candidate who tweets.
Tweets up a storm.
Yeah. I think it was NBC. It might be ABC. Oh,
she tweets a lot about me. Every once in a while, I'll tweet.
I just thought this was a really fun story.
Get retweeted by Trump.
And I love fun.
Jacob Soboroff spoke with some in Nevada.
Who doesn't love fun? Who doesn't love Bozo,
Donald Trump
for Christ's sake?
Likes to retweet messages like this to his followers. And in fact, since the beginning of the campaign, Twitter tells me, according to this data that they sent me,
this guy talks
he's done
to
it 2,500 times. I found someone retweeted by Donald Trump in Las Vegas.
So this is you, huh? At Mike Green Hippo, Ben Carson is now leading in the polls in Iowa. Too much Monsanto and the corn creates issues in the brain. Hashtag Trump, hashtag GOP.
I felt very inspired on that morning.
That was you?
Yeah, that was me.
Nicholas.
Okay, what do you think about this guy already?
He's a foreigner?
Rockford Villeneuve is a French-American filmmaker who was a Bernie Sanders supporter.
How'd he get in the country?
His tweet about a year ago.
Like he was super vetted.
It's a Bernie supporter.
And then I just put my phone on the sofa, and a minute later it beeped, and it actually was Donald Trump who had retweeted.
How surreal would that be?
Wow. A reaction of being very surprised. that someone who's running for the president of the United States not only has time to read my tweet, but also to retweet it.
Trump deleted Nicholas's tweet after so he was deemed offensive to some of the Iowa voters he was courting. And he blamed the retweet on an intern.
Trump did?
Nearly a year later,
blamed it on an intern.
His tweet caught Trump's eye. I'm in Summerlin, Nevada, where on September 9th at 11 p.m., Stephen Dean at STVZBNK tweeted, I can see at Tony Schwartz, the guy that was the ghostwriter of The Art of the Deal, Donald Trump's book, is very unstable. Might leave for Canada soon, too. And then he tagged at Real Donald Trump. So he took your message.
This guy's so rock hard at a McDonald's.
Right.
Stephen Dean is a home health care nurse.
First wood he's had in a while, too.
From this McDonald's.
What was that like?
Oh, that was incredible. I mean, you know what immediately when you turn on your computer in the morning that you have hundreds and hundreds of notifications.
You think that's a good thing from a guy who could become the president? You want him sitting there scrolling through tweets and finding your tweet from this Mickey D's?
I think that's great because he has said that he is the voice of us. He wants to do right by us. So why not from time to time retweet
he got retweeted.
A little guy like me?
For the self-proclaimed little guy, the retweet from Trump was as big as it gets. Jacob Soboroff, NBC News, Las Vegas.
Oh, boy.
How ridiculous.
Oh, by the way, we need a couple Trump drops, Jay, when you find them, if you can find them. I know they're around. Oh, she would be my first choice. And look at her. Got it. She wouldn't be my first choice to sexually assault.
Apparently. Apparently.
I know what he's saying. She wouldn't be my first choice if I was out looking to nail somebody.
I know, but when you say it like that.
I don't think he understands the context. I hate to say that.
I don't really think he should be using the word choice when it comes to sexual assault victims.
Look at her. Look at her.
I know. Yeah, because people that assault women, it's not, you know. They usually only do it to hot chicks, right?
I think that's what he's saying, basically, is, look, I have a very high standard. If I'm going to put my hand up somebody's dress, she's going to be hot as hell.
Well, how about the 15-minute excuse, too? The one on the plane? She says I molested her for 15 minutes. If it was here, it'd be one second.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it makes him
well, except if innocent. If you read her comments or listen to them, it's that she didn't have a problem when it was upstairs.
Well, that's what's so... That whole thing is so weird. It's like, if he had slowed down, he could have fucked her in the bathroom of the plane, basically.
Possibly. If she sounds just like. Presented consent.
So, I think you might call her back.
Not now. Look at her.
Oh, shit.
And then for him to attack SNL, it just makes me laugh.
What about Hillary on drugs? She's on drugs.
Oh, well, you know where that comes from, right?
Well, from him being accused of coke, I assume.
No, it comes from Alex Jones.
Oh, what did Alex Jones say?
Alex Jones has been saying that she's been on drugs from all the debates.
What is she on?
I don't know.
Something to pep her up?
Well, yeah, I mean, because like Trump said, look at her in the
look
beginning.
Look at her in the beginning. Oh, my God. Ugh. She's on fire.
I guess, you know, Roger Stone, who's one of Trump's buddies.
Yeah.
The real famous political operative.
Yep,
is on Alex. He's on Alex Jones all the time.
Really?
All the time.
You got to be kidding me.
Here's Hillary's new ad uses Alex Jones, which is kind of interesting.
I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
That's Trump on Alex Jones's show.
Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured.
Sandy Hook
I will
Hook
not
trooper.
Let you down.
The official story is a fable, and an inside job
9/11.
Is the only explanation.
You will be very, very impressed, I hope.
They're the ones running ISIS. I mean, I've interviewed the cops. And the people that saw the feds plant the bombs in Oklahoma City.
I think we'll be speaking a lot.
They're the ones running ISIS. That's where they believe Trump got the idea of the founders of ISIS.
Oh, God.
I think she's going to show up and on drugs, though. She's going to be blacked out.
That's him previewing the first debate. She's going to show up
she's
on drugs.
She's a freaking demon, and she stinks, and so does Obama. And I go, like, what? Sulfur.
Now I have the government documents where they said they're going to encourage homosexuality with chemicals so that people don't have children.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. And I'll tell you, it is surreal to talk about issues here on air and then word for word hear Trump say it 2 days later. It is amazing.
That's her new ad is all Alex Jones.
He has a lot of audience, doesn't he?
He's got a huge following.
How does he have such a big audience?
People like conspiracy theories.
But he believes them. All of them.
Do you think he really believes them?
I don't know.
Or do you think he's really just tapped into something and therefore he believes every... Because when you believe every single conspiracy theory, it becomes kind of a joke, right?
I think so.
You just look like a fool. Like, everything is not a conspiracy theory.
Well, you know, Mark Scott used to always... That's what...
Excelsior!
Yeah. Excelsior. That was certainly what made him roll. And Art Bell with
he was
UFOs.
The one at night, right? Yeah.
But they all have an audience.
I know. Well, that's
a good audience.
You know, it's still entertainment. So, but isn't it a little disconcerting that you have one candidate who's making appearances on the show and the other one who's now using it for a campaign commercial?
That's well, I mean, we don't know that he got it from Alex. Well, maybe he did get it from Alex Jones. I don't know. I don't honestly.
Oh, sounds like you're hitting on a conspiracy here. This election is so ridiculous.
Here's a conspiracy theory for you. That's actually not a big conspiracy theory. NBC executives are rumored to have leaked the Pussygate video to the Washington Post in an attempt to derail Donald Trump's chest. Well, we've heard a lot about this.
That's the one we were talking about, yeah.
They were clearly going to hold it through the hurricane, at least.
Yeah.
More impact. They wanted to release it right before the debate. They held it because of the hurricane.
They wanted to edit Billy out, too, Billy Bush.
Yeah, which is really bullshit. That would have killed him if they had. That would have given Trump some kind of an out, and some people would have believed it.
Well, if the tape's
edited. The tape's edited, oh my God.
Yeah.
Even though the words are clearly coming out of his mouth in that, you know, in a row. Anyway, as far as the, you know, rigged election, quote unquote, I think what he's trying to suggest is that the media is the, you know, it's her and the media against me. This isn't fair.
I've always said it's smart for him to attack the media because everybody hates the media.
Well, he should attack the media then. He shouldn't just say it's rigged. Rigged sounds like, it, you know, election officials are cheating on the vote counting or something.
Which is, does he even know who runs the elections?
Probably not.
The states run the elections, and more states than not are Republican.
Well, I don't know what hit, as far as what is makes the elections rigged. I haven't heard what the specific answer is.
How do you define rigged?
I assume he's referring to the media.
No, but how do you define the term rigged?
Rigged is the result is determined in advance.
Okay,
isn't that how anyone defines it?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, how do you define rigged?
I think through some kind of nefarious activity.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, if something's if the result is manufactured in advance, that would be nefarious if you're supposedly having a fair competition.
Don't you think that's a bad thing for him to do? I mean, don't we want to?
Well, I would rather that he was specific and said what he's talking about. Do you mean the media, or are you talking about that someone is cheating in the vote counting?
If
you know,
somebody says that to him, he's just going to go, "Well, I just mean it's rigged." By the way, someone else pointed out that this isn't the first thing he. First voting thing he said is rigged, by the way.
What else?
The first would have been the Emmys because The Apprentice didn't win. He's tweeted about how the Emmys were rigged because The Apprentice lost.
Well, I could see the Emmys being rigged or the Oscars or the Grammys or something like that. I don't like
the nomination process, sure.
Yeah, the nomination process more so, but they could. Who would know if... Arthur Anderson, whoever those jerk-ass accountants
douche.
Are. Yeah.
Deloitte and douche.
Here's what some people are upset about in regards to NBC. Not only that they're playing God with the Trump video, NBC is also reportedly in possession of a tape that alleges Hillary Clinton threatened a woman who accused Bill of raping her nearly 40 years ago. The accuser, Juanita Broderick, claimed in a 1999 interview with Dateline that Bill Clinton had raped her in 1978 when he was Attorney General. The account of the alleged incident aired, but what didn't air was Broderick's claim that Hillary Clinton threatened her weeks later. The head of NBC News at the time was Andy Lack, who's now back in the same role. In the interview, Broderick told how she was at an event when the Democratic nominee towards her.
So NBC just likes Hillary but not Bill?
Well, they're in possession of this tape would include something where she's threatening Juanita Broderick, which would be newsworthy now.
Oh, so they actually have her on tape threatening her? Or is it
No, Broderick saying that Hillary threatened
her. She says it all the time.
Who says it all the time?
Juanita Broderick just said it before the second debate.
Not really. She said...
Yes, she did.
The quote is weird. Do you know the quote I'm talking about?
She absolutely said that Hillary threatened her.
Oh, I didn't hear her say those exact
words. Yes, absolutely.
Broderick said Clinton grabbed her hand and thanked her for everything you do for Bill. She said she tried to pull away, but Clinton looked her in the eye and repeated the same thing. She took it as a threat, meaning Hillary wanted her to keep her silence. which means that Hillary and Bill drove over there that day to this senior center or whatever, and Bill said, you know, I was really out of hand a couple weeks ago. I raped this woman, Juanita Broderick. She's really kind of gross, but I don't know what got into me. I bit her lip and made her bleed. I told her to put some ice on it afterwards. But anyway, could you say something to her, make sure she doesn't speak up about it? Okay, Bill, I'll think of something.
I think he totally, totally did something to her.
I think he probably did something to her, but this idea that
Hillary know?
That they had a conversation and Hillary was... Because no one...
He came
Bill
clean to Hillary.
Bill, yeah, like Bill would have come clean to her. How
no
else
way.
Would she know to say something to Juanita Broderick?
There's no way Bill would have
I don't think he would have.
Unless Juanita said it to her.
Oh. Or if he said, yes, this Juanita Broderick chick, she's talking like I had something for her. I'm not even interested in Hillary. She's gross. I'm telling you, you got to say something to her.
It's a vast right-wing conspiracy.
Some weasel scenario Bill dreams up.
Well, that sounds.
She put her hand on my leg, and I think she was thinking about maybe giving it a tug or two. But I walked away. I didn't want anything to do with her. She's kind of gross. She wouldn't be my first choice anyway.
I mean, just look at her. Look at her riding.
You know what's weird?
I mean, I was with her for like 15 minutes, Hillary. That was you. You'd hit me after 1 second.
This is terrible. But I remember when Juanita Broderick came out. I swear to God, my first thought was. God, she doesn't really look hot enough for Bill Clinton. Why would he want to have him? I mean, I know it's terrible, but I thought it. I can't help it.
Well,
I thought it's not my fault.
The whole United States thought that when Monica Lewinsky happened. Everyone was like, this fat.
I thought she was about 20 pounds too fat. I thought she was a little less fat that maybe would because she had a rack and she's kind of cute. I don't know. She's not really.
By the way, she refuses to break the silence between Trump and Clinton.
I said, but she was really bummed that the airport caught her, that they caught her at the airport at 5:30 with no makeup on.
Thanks, Delta.
That's what she tweeted out.
But what's alarming is not her makeup. What's alarming is she's huge.
Huge. Hey, stop bullying her. Stop bullying her.
Look at her.
Wait a sec. If you're Monica Lewinsky, isn't it safe to assume that you should, if you're that obsessed with having your makeup on, you should have it applied and ready all the time?
Well, I would
you're
be
flying
more...
into LAX. You know there's going to be paparazzi.
If
there.
She's that concerned, I'd be more interested in shedding some of the 300 pounds she's carrying. She's gigantic. It doesn't matter how much makeup she wears. She is. She's huge. Doesn't she look bigger than ever?
They were mad the photographs weren't taken from a higher angle.
She's big in the. Let me see if I got the picture.
Stop bullying her. Remember, she's very. Isn't that her job now?
She's hiding behind her bag. Oh, whoa! Yikes!
Would you?
Oh,
you know she's a gamer.
Yeah, she's probably. Yeah, she's a gamer. I think you're right.
Do you think like
she's grown?
Can you imagine being like the guy that dated her, like after Bill or after all that came out?
Before it came out, but after Bill.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Knowing and then finding out all that happened. Or being the next person who wants to do something kinky with her and then she just won't do it anymore because Bill ruined it.
Exactly. He probably did.
Somebody wants
well, she's never been married. I mean, she'd had a boyfriend since then. Who would want to go out with her? I mean, what a pain in the ass. Hey, Mom, I know you've heard a lot of crappy stuff about this girl, but she's really nice. Mom, here's my new girlfriend, Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, yeah, the president stuffed a cigar in you. And I'm sorry.
Come on, there's always someone, though, right?
Seems like it.
There's always
Yeah, it could be somebody who has no relatives and no friends, so nobody really be can't really be humiliated.
Mark David Chapman.
Sure. Yeah, she could date somebody behind bars. Manson. She'd be Manson's next wife.
Imagine if Chapman, now that he's out, he looks her up and they fall in love.
Or Hink Dog. Hink Dog's out.
Oh, that's funny. I was thinking Hink Dog and I said Mark David Chapman. I meant Hinkley.
Do you see there's some
bond over their love of presidential history?
Was there, I swear, I read something about this and I can't remember exactly what it entailed, but it was about Hinckley being allowed or not being allowed to watch some program on Reagan, like the court was interested in this.
Killing Reagan, the book that Bill O'Reilly wrote,
yeah.
Premiered last night on National Geographic.
And was he told not to watch it?
There's a lot of him in it.
Right.
So I think they did not want him to watch it because he's not supposed to read or watch anything about presidential assassinations.
How can you control that?
Well, mom has the remote.
Was mom like?
Mom!
We should call up and make sure he didn't watch it.
All right, dial her up. Jay, we dial up Hink Dog.
Is Killing Reagan the name of the show?
Yes.
Is it on PBS?
National Geographic Channel.
Okay, same difference.
Those books are really
two,
good.
Two channels I never watch.
Have you ever read those books, the Bill O'Reilly books?
No, I haven't. And you told me
they're really good.
That Julie loves them. She read all of them, right?
I love them, yeah.
Did you have you read them all?
I've not read the Pat. I have Killing Patton. I'm almost done with Killing Jesus, which, by the way, all these people die. Spoiler.
Yeah, really?
And he's got a new one, too. I think it's like Killing the Empire or the Sun. It's about the Pacific Theater of World War II.
Ah!
I don't know. They're good. They're good books.
I gotta tell you, I just can't get into war books. I don't know why.
Really?
I just get sleepy.
World War II?
Yeah. I mean, the basic history of it, you know, the two fronts, and but as far as getting into specific, like, battle strategy and stuff, I just, my eyes get drowsy. My eyelids start falling down. I get so sleepy reading that stuff.
Your dad was in the Pacific Theater.
I know, right? I know. I should be.
Did he talk about it?
Not much. No.
Never, yeah.
Charlie LaDuff is calling. Should I answer?
Oh, I know what he's calling about.
Charlie!
He's got to be calling about the news today.
Charlie!
Mike Duggan's little press conference.
Yeah, we are. We're recording. I picked it up live.
Put it on speaker.
Do you want to be on the microphone? Okay. I don't know how well we're going to be able to hear you. Say something.
Press the speaker button, Drew. This is more fun, Jay.
Speaker.
Did you find Hink Dog, by the way?
There we go, Charlie.
Nice.
Oh, boy. Can't hear too well. I got to really speak up, I think.
Joey, we grab Drew's phone and show him how to use it.
It's on speaker.
You got to turn it up, though. Crank it. And then it'll be cranked,
isn't it? Oh, it's not.
All right, go ahead. You're fine. He hung up. I bet you he's calling the studio in 5, 4, 3. Two.
Yeah, we should call him.
One.
It's, here's the number. Charlie LaDuff. Oh, you got it?
What, the studio or his cell?
I think his cell, I'm pretty sure.
Phone's ringing.
Oh. There it is, Charlie at Fox.
Why is everything a process?
It's Charlie.
Charlie.
Hello?
Charlie.
I was beginning to think Charlie might have been kidnapped.
Can you hear me, man?
Yeah, there you are. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good, but I'm just so shocked by these revelations about the demolition business today. What's going on? It seems that they've changed their viewpoint on it.
Well, how about that, dude? So basically what happened was Treasury said, hold on a fucking minute, right? And they directed the state where the funds are funneled through from the feds, the state, the city, I'm going to freeze everything.
Mm-hmm.
No more government money. Conduct an audit. It's an ongoing audit. Done, and it ignores the investigation. And they found all that bullshit, like illegal billing, a bid process where the majority of the bids aren't to the lowest bidder, quality problems. So
that all sounds very familiar to me.
Doesn't it, dude?
Yeah. But
that just burns my ass.
Well, I know. And why didn't you get an apology in the comments that I read in the story? Mike Duggan seemed to be indicating that even he's now aware of it and that he thinks it's intolerable and he's very sorry about it and he wants it all to be fixed.
Shocked.
He was very disappointed.
Shocked. I asked him. I said, haven't you seen our reports for the last year? Why are you always calling me a liar? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, you knew, dude, and you admitted to the community. You had your agents engaged in this, in those secret meetings and, you know, collusive practices. He said it point blank.
Right. He trashed you. He said he would never leave those two people alone with a reporter again, as if there was something, you know, horrible about what you did in the room with those people.
Don't forget all these lawsuits. Defamation. You know, here's the number one protection against defamation is it's the truth.
Of course.
So, Mike,
but what happens?
Know how to run anything.
But what happens if they file a defamation case and Fox 2 or some, I don't know, let's say less high-minded operation says, oh, my God, it's a lawsuit from the city. We can't afford a lawsuit like that. We've got to lay off that story. And the next thing you know, it all goes away. Nobody hears about it. Nothing gets done. And demolitions continue to be done for $16,000, $17,000. And all this money is spent that doesn't need to be spent because there are overcharges and the lowest bidders aren't taken. I mean, what if that happens?
Well, you know, that's kind of the state of American journalism, isn't it?
Of course. No, that's what scares me. Isn't that why they file those suits?
Yeah.
I mean, do they really?
I mean, Trump's threatening that, right? With the New York Times. I mean, you can say what you want in this country. Look, if they're taking public money and trying to silence a reporter who's looking into the public's business, man, that's got a chilling effect on the way this country operates. Who else is going to look?
Well, stop rigging elections.
Shit. Yeah, well, you know, there is some truth to that, too, dude. Isn't there?
What do you mean? The media rigging elections?
Well, the media, like, I get a point what he's saying. Like, all right already, right? Like, you wanna keep talking to women. Where's the evidence on this thing? A couple of weeks out from a couple of decades ago. But I'm not hearing anything about, you know, these emails, which you're talking about, a hemispheric block with no borders. Yeah, you know, I feel it.
A good business.
But you're talking about some other things.
A good businessman would understand that the media is still a business, and what sells is what their customers eat. And it's much more interesting to talk about sex, and it's easy for an audience to devour sex stories, which is why the quid pro quo story today was the fourth one on the ABC News tonight.
There you go.
I mean, they're a business. Exactly right. This isn't NPR.
But there's a feeling.
Wait. Watch this. Plus, watch this. The business is imploding. So, look, I spent a lot of years at the New York Times. I once covered Schwarzenegger. Remember that one? And he was running for governor and his groping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
What the Republicans gave me was a court case, a public document where the governor that was getting recalled in California was accused of buying a kid at a brothel, an underage kid. And we wouldn't go with that. Probably for the right reasons. There's not enough time to, you know what I mean, vet it fully. But it is a public document. Now
good morning.
Their audience has collapsed and the model's collapsed. And so you're right, Mark. You got to give your customer what they want.
I think
there's also a feeling in this country that the media is liberal, that it favors liberal candidates. And in an election like this, someone like Trump is going to get horrific coverage, 10-1 against him.
The feelings are different from the fact. Are most reporters liberal? Sure. I would think most people working in the media are liberal. The companies, though? Comcast that owns NBC, you think that's a liberal company?
Who do you think is getting more coverage in this media? Trump for doing his stupid things or Hillary for emails or for whatever else she's done?
Trump, but don't you think Trump's inviting it?
Oh, yeah, I think he is.
And he doesn't let stories die when he easily.
All right, let's do this, though. Let's stay on Detroit for a minute.
Sure.
Because Duggan is the guy, right, under a full-blown federal investigation, now admitting it because he has to, right? He's on stage priming the pump for Clinton, you know, the old crooked Hillary. Like, what in the world? This town is a mess, man. The old guard is still in control. They do these deals. He's been doing these deals for years, like, the medical center.
Crooked,
you know, you're
Hillary.
Fined $30 million for violating the anti-kickback statute. You're being reimbursed with federal money. This is not what we just went bankrupt. This is not, you know, when we went through the heartache of going through the Kwame era, and we're getting this, and I'm telling you what, this is just a little
tip of the iceberg
of, I think, what's going on.
See what they're paying the CFO, this guy that has to work here because of the bankruptcy, and they said, but those funds have been all raised privately, and it turns out today, no, the city's been paying these two guys since March, I think, and this guy's staying in a $4,000 apartment. He gets $50 a day for food, and he flies every week back to New York. The other guy flies to Chicago, and we couldn't possibly have found anyone locally that could have done this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to do what exactly? I mean, I read it, but I don't exactly know. Like, you know,
compliance. What is compliance? I mean, really? I don't know.
Right. What is that?
Who
have a financial advisory board? What in the world, man? We're spending money like there's no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. We don't have any money.
And people who get their pensions cut are saying, well, gee, you know, it's only $6,000 a month, but wouldn't that be nice to have for somebody?
Yeah.
Now watch these numbnuts, all these contractors, right? You know, all the contracts got to be torn up, and they got to be rebid. That's part of this deal. So now you got contractors who spent untold hundreds of thousands of dollars on equipment, and they have to rebid it, and their competition knows their price. Like, the whole thing is screwed up. And if we would have been playing boss hog and listening in the beginning, maybe we would have fixed it. Or maybe this was the way it was supposed to go.
Hey, by the way, Charlie, I was kind of pumped at 5 o'clock to turn on Fox 2, and I was hoping to see you do a story on this. Is there some reason? Are you not working today? Or they mentioned you in the story?
It was on at 6, dude.
Oh, it was on at 6. I turned on at 5. We were on at 6. But also, I saw the newspaper, and I'm not sure which one it was, but are they going to mention Charlie anywhere in the story? And about 3/4 through the story, they mentioned WJBK Fox 2.
Yeah.
They did give you a little credit.
You got mentioned, though, in the comment section. That was in the Detroit News. You got mentioned in the comment section, someone saying that this whole story is broken months ago by Charlie Duff, yet he gets no credit. And then someone writes, Charlie Duff, haven't heard much from him since the story broke. Anybody wonder why? I think you were taken care of, Charlie.
maybe it's those defamation suits they're threatening.
Well, how about this? I put in my story so far, $81,000 in legal bills for this.
Yeah.
Defending themselves.
Right on. Where's that money come from?
That's almost 200 rape kits, dude.
Yeah. What part of the budget does the 81 grand come from?
It's supposedly coming out of the land bank, and I asked the mayor today. I don't remember the answer because I didn't really get one. I said, if that's in a quasi-autonomous entity, what are they doing paying for your legal defense?
What did he say?
He didn't really answer it. He didn't.
We need to watch the 6 o'clock story clearly in part two. We'll be sure to air that, Charlie.
Yeah, sorry about Friday, dude. It was, one of these girls that was raped by that, guy did that story last week. No one ever listened to her, so she might know of some more victims, live or dead. And so, I was with the authorities, because she trusts me to talk to them. Plus, they never took her story. She never got her justice or anybody to listen like an advocate. So, I had to go someplace and sort of take care of that part of the...
No problem. I noticed over the weekend, too, I was reading about all the money that's being spent defending all these people in the Flint water debacle. That's over $2 million they've spent. Prosecuted.
Let's look at priorities. We've got a serial murderer rapist running around. 11,000 rape kits are laying in a warehouse, right? And we have to... beg, it's like charitable donations, right? Coming up with stuff the law was supposed to handle.
I know.
And yet we can find millions of dollars whenever we need them for the right people. It's not why I pay exorbitant taxes.
Yeah, I know.
Brings me down, man.
Yeah, it really is. It's terrible.
See, isn't it more fun to talk about sex lives of politicians? Now you know why.
Do you guys remember that? Do you see that? Well, here's some money in the politician. What we should really be talking about. Warren Buffett comes out and talks about, here's my taxes, Don. I pay federal taxes, right?
Yeah.
The guy made like $2 billion last year, and he paid $1.8 million in taxes?
Well, I thought he pays less than his secretary. Well, he said lower percentage than his secretary.
It's not income, right? It's
capital gains.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he plows it back into a stock, right? Whenever he needs some cash, he sells the stock. So, and then when he sells it, he's only taxed at 14, and that's what Mitt Romney got drilled for, and, everybody seems fine with it now. And it's like, I think I'm paying federal rate of, 28? I'm paying double what that guy's paying.
Mitt Romney's wealth was used against him in that election. It was clearly a handicap for him.
Exactly.
Well, the thing I never understood about Warren Buffett is he bitches about not paying his fair share. Then just fucking pay it.
Thank you.
Send him a big check.
But who does?
No one does, Drew. It's a lie.
You would have to say what Trump said. Look, I've got a company to run. I got to do what's best for the investors and the ownership.
Wait, but he's the only owner, right?
I think there's a couple of people, but he's the
It's all family.
Majority.
There's plenty of things to dislike Donald Trump for. I think not paying taxes or doing whatever he can do to avoid the tax code is the most normal thing he does.
Seriously.
I think it's ridiculous.
It's just like him accusing Hillary of being on drugs. It's like, come on, Trump, can't you? There's so many better things to talk about.
Clinton used to carry over $700,000 in losses and applied it later on. She did the same thing. Who wouldn't do it? Now, we need to change it, probably.
Right. And it will not. I predict it does not get changed. No matter who is president, I predict there will be no change.
But for the regular... Because that's
do you want that to change for the regular person? I mean, if you start a business and it bombs and it folds, I mean, shouldn't they be able to write that off over the years?
I don't know.
I mean, wouldn't that only encourage creation of jobs and businesses and keeping money moving around?
Well, I suppose this. I've got a different one than the carryover loophole. I would say this. I haven't run the numbers, but I'm sure we could find a number. Why would capital gains, your 401k or whatever you invested in the market, your gambling or your interest, why is that taxed at half the rate that your labor is? We're taxing sweat at a higher rate than we're taxing gravy.
Right, because they don't have the write-offs. They don't do the long form.
Leave money in regular people's pockets, and then like if you got $100 million to invest, it's not venture capital, it's not startup, it's just finding places to put it, real estate or whatever. Tax capital gains at 30%.
No, well, no, because you want to.
Well, you don't want the stock market to go down to 6,000 and everybody loses their 401k.
If anything, lower and keep more money moving around.
No, here's what I say though. Watch this. Only because the stock market's all full of air and fake money. What are you going to do if you take your money out of the stock market, put it in the bank at 0.25% in a savings account?
Of course
no.
not. No.
No, you're gonna do what you do now with it. You're gonna put it in your mattress. And by the way, you're not taxing the principal. You're taxing only what is made on it. You're not penalizing anybody for having their money.
30%.
Just a thought.
Used to be 15. I mean, we're already at 23. Jeez.
For what?
For capital gains. Yeah, it went up to 23.
I thought it was 15.
It was 15.
It 15. It was 15 for a long time.
Thanks, little boy.
Well, man, I'm paying out of my ass and getting nothing. That's all I know.
So Warren Buffett paid, what was the percentage that he paid? 17 or 16 or something?
No, like 13.8. Something like that, 14.
How does he pay 14? That low? Capital gains are 23. I don't get how does he do this? He got some shell companies too? He must be doing something with his money.
Must be another loophole.
Probably. Hey, you mentioned DMC a while back, and I was reading the op-ed or the editorial page yesterday, and they were talking about this whole thing about the instruments and how they've got blood on them and all this crap going on, which is just obscene to think that people doing surgery would have to worry about their scalpel or whatever equipment they're using having crap on it or being infection prone. And they said there's some kind of a deal in the air where they have 2 months to clean it up.
Yeah, I think the deal is this. They've got
or they lose Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, the feds cut them off. I don't know if it's a 90-day window, 60-day window.
It's 60 days, they said. 60 days? How do you fix that problem in 60 days?
It's real simple. It's real simple. You hire some more fucking people and you give them the equipment. That's what you do. Real simple.
They said the truly simple way is to privatize it, and then it wouldn't be a problem, but they don't want to do that.
Well, that's right. There's big union struggle in there as well. But, they don't even have protocols like, aerosol in the things before you wheel them downstairs and then all the stuff dries on it. And remember this. Hate to say it. This is 11 years old.
I know.
This happened under Duggan. Mm-hmm. He cut the cleaning crews by 30%. And according to, not to me, but to the reports as I read them, nobody was ever told.
That's why.
You're a magician. Mm-hmm. You're a turnaround magician. No way, I'm not buying it.
But, he's been out of there for a few years, and they still haven't cleaned it up, and now they're suggesting that they can do it in 60 days? And I'll bet you that...
Didn't we look at this guy, Conrad Mallett, remember that guy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Him up? Yep.
Yeah.
That's another old-time Detroit player who's, the chief operating officer or something like that?
Yeah. Wasn't he a chief justice, too?
Yeah come on, man. It's the old school. Like, let's broom them and get some fresh blood. At least... People who may not have much experience but have their heart in the right place try to really get this thing turned around. Are we going to go back to where we were?
That's a rigged system right there.
What's that?
It's all who you know. The people that get those jobs. Man, right? The people that get the board jobs. Of course.
Oh, no. Chelsea Clinton.
Babies in there having heart surgery, man. They got to stop and put a towel over them because the instruments are shit.
Jesus.
Come on.
Yeah.
Don't you think Chelsea Clinton earned her place on the board that she's on? Making $300,000 a year?
Oh, those new emails about her were great.
I know.
Always running
into brat.
Daddy.
Wow. I was reading that to my wife. My wife's like, what's up with the foundation? I'm like, what year is it? 2013. They raised $140 million and $9 million went to charities, and you know, yep. $8 million went to conferences and travel and hotels and salaries, and it's like, wow, one out of $15 actually gets to the ground.
Major slush fund.
Yeah, why do they do all these favors for people for money they don't even need?
Well, now they've revealed the companies that have admitted that they've used the fundraisers to lobby the State Department when she was Secretary of State there.
For sale.
Yep.
You know, it's really amazing we got these two. Jesus
I know.
Christ.
You know, and not only the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Library. Can I ask you a question? Has anybody in this room ever, or Charlie, ever been to a presidential library? I swear to God, I would never give a flying fuck to go for a library. And yet they raise all this
only
money.
Only by circumstance.
And they give all this influence for the fucking library that nobody goes to. Unless you go, Charlie.
Well, Bill Clinton goes, but he's got a pad on top of it.
Yeah.
Jay, you went to a presidential library?
If only let him build a pool.
Well, he's got an apartment upstairs.
Remember he wanted to build a pool.
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
Where's the Lincoln Library?
I should have known that.
Springfield.
Jay's from Springfield.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh.
How was it?
It was great. Well, I mean, they've got a library, but then they've got like a museum with a whole bunch of Civil War artifacts and stuff like that there. We went to the museum, not the library, but it's technically in the same building.
Now, see, Charlie, I would have thought you would have been to the Gerald Ford Museum on the campus of Ann Arbor, North Campus.
Is that where it's at?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was there.
The museum, the Ford Museum is in Grand Rapids, right. But the library is in Ann Arbor.
Boring.
I know. Yeah, it's on North Campus.
Is there a line to get
on
in every
North
day?
Camp. Who goes there,
yes,
man?
It's only open 2 hours a day. Ford, he's got a nice little pad there.
Oh, he's got a pad with a pool like Clinton?
Yeah.
With injured rubbing his feet?
There's a nice bar.
Cool. I'm sure.
Oh, wait, that's Betty's.
Oh, cheap shot.
Cheap shot?
All right, well, anyway, let me just, I got to get home. You remember this,
okay.
Man.
Charlie's got
to
go.
Way to go anyway.
Fight the power. Fight the power, right?
Yeah, man.
Till it's done the right way.
We'll check out your 6 o'clock story, Charlie.
Okay, man.
Sounds
Talk
good.
To you guys.
Thanks for calling.
Good to hear you, Mark. See you, Jay.
See ya.
See ya, Charlie.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we'll move on to part 2 in a minute. Should I run down the...
I have some teases for part 2. You want to hear
okay,
some?
Yeah.
There's more evidence that Hillary Clinton... does not have the stamina to be president.
Oh!
That was broken. There's an update on Hugh Hefner, and he's close to death.
Yeah, I heard he was dying.
And are you following the...
I heard that the Playboy Mansion smells like urine.
It does.
Yeah, that's... Oh, you know, for a fact?
Yeah, and his fingernails are really long. It's disgusting.
Gross. He pees in jars and saves the jars, too,
yeah,
like Howard Hughes?
He bought a TV station, and they're running old movies on it.
Oh, so he can watch movies late at night? Excellent.
He's building this massive plane, too. He's down apparently. This part is true. He is allegedly to 90 pounds.
What?
Hefner is.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And the other thing is, have you been following the hot tot trial, the kid that died in the car down in Georgia?
You know, I was
load
really
of a dad.
I was extremely interested in that trial, but I have not haven't seen much about it other than the wife testified or the ex-wife.
He was on his side, which I'm blown away that she's on his side.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that too, because he was sexting chicks while the kid was dying.
Well, today on the stand was one of these chicks that was being sexted.
Oh, God.
And I believe either today or yesterday was one of the prostitutes he visited in the month prior.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, they're really coming down hard on him, aren't they? I mean, to me, do those women really have a lot to do with this? Isn't it really about him?
Well, but I think that kind of shows where his mindset is. And, you know, if anything, you would think it would help him. You'd go, my mind was on sex. I wasn't thinking about my kid. Forgot about my kid.
What are they testifying? The girls that he sexted, what are they saying?
Oh, you want to know it now?
No, I'll wait. Those are good teas, because I am interested. You got me.
And there's an athlete here who's going to be a father. Do you know that story?
An athlete in
a very high-profile
yes,
Detroit
I
athlete.
Knew about that.
Okay.
I did. I'm looking for my list. The Joe Louis Arena final home opener, which Mark thinks is
so
is
stupid.
Far over discussed, is tonight, technically.
It's a good thing. They're moving to a better arena. Oh, should I ask him? Oh, should I ask him if he wants an autograph from the Joe Louis Arena?
Oh, the building is signing stuff?
You know Tom's very sad, though, right?
About Joe Louis Arena?
Yeah. Like, really sad.
Oh, come on.
But then he gets really excited when he sees the new arena. And I explain to him once.
Well, he forgets. He forgets how sad he was about
the
arena.
I explain to him the circle of life for arenas. One gets built, one gets torn down.
I'm looking for the list of the top Joe Louis Arena occurrences. Not, you know, that really was an easy list to write. Well, I can almost run it off without even having
97, right? That's got to be number one.
The first one they listed was like February 5, 1980, Gordie Howe and Wayne Gretzky played in the All-Star game.
So they went in chronological order?
Yeah, they went in chronological order.
Did you see the one thing that maybe shouldn't have belonged?
I did see a couple things that shouldn't have belonged. Which one are you referring to?
The next one would have been Reagan getting the nomination in 1980, the fall of 1980.
Oh, at Joe Louis Arena. No, that's not in there.
Oh, that
was not in there.
That happened at the Joe.
Okay.
And then, of course, it was all the Wings stuff.
I thought the banner raisings were a little... I don't get into that much. I like it when you win it.
But
that's
how about
the excitement.
The WNBA championship?
Oh, that wasn't on the list.
Yeah, that was online. That was part of the online list.
Oh, come on. Get out of here.
And there was a...
I didn't know the WNBA even played in Joe Louis Arena. I did not know that.
There's a picture of Cheryl Ford spraying Mahorn with champagne because Mahorn was the assistant coach.
Oh, please. Why does political correctness have to be in a story like that? I'm appalled. I'm angry about this than anything we've talked about so far today.
Personally, they should have had when I went to first aid in 1986 during the McDonald's High School All-American basketball game for getting my hand closed in the car door.
But you still saw the game.
I know. That was a great game,
Your recovery should have been the main part of the story, the fact that a young child would so quickly recover from having his hand slammed in the door to be able to watch the game.
I believe Ala Abdunabi was in that game. Remember him? He went to Duke.
Yes.
And Dwayne Vincennes, who went to Syracuse. Remember that dude?
Yes.
I remember all the stupid names from that game. I think J.R. Reed was in that game, North Carolina.
Yes, your bravery should have been cited, Mark. Clearly.
I know.
I can't find my freaking list. The McCarty game where he punched out Lemieux, 326-96.
That was in the list. Yeah.
Yeah. Beating Philadelphia and sweeping the fourth game, 2-1.
2002, of course, clinching it.
Yeah, 3-1 went over Carolina. What else? Oh, Lidstrom getting his number retired. Yzerman getting his number retired. Fedorov scoring 5 goals, which was, I think, December 26th, 1995. That might have been the second one on the list. It's in the Free Press sports section, actually.
Aren't there some big non-wing stuff?
They had no wing. It was all wing stuff.
Okay.
And so they were obviously not talking about the building, but the wings events, okay. I suppose.
Well, the one I saw that, you know, like I said, had Reagan and the WNBA.
And you know what they had the audio of? They had the audio of, well, they had audio for all these things, but they did have the audio of the Lemieux fight with McCarty. And, of course, you're reminded that Mike Goldberg was on the
That's
mic
right.
for the entire thing.
Yeah.
He did Red Wings games for what, 1 year or 2 years?
One.
It was just 1 year. That's how disliked the guy was. And what the funny thing in that audio was, at one point he referred to the goaltender. You know, he called the pads, the big pads, he called them the pillows. Like, got him between the pillows. Ugh. And you know why that is intriguing to me?
Why?
Because Mickey didn't like that.
Good for you, Mick.
Mickey has occasionally admitted to a couple things he took exception to, and that was one of them.
I'm sorry.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he's not angry with me for that.
You know what Goldberg does now, right?
He does,
UFC.
UFC, that's right. I can't imagine that. Yep. All right. Well, we'll knock it off. We'll be back with an hour of part two. Oh, there's a list. Okay, Gordie Howe, February 5, 1980. Steve Yzerman's greatest goal. Oh, the double overtime goal against St. Louis, May 16, 1996. Yeah, there you go. The Federer 5 goals, December 26, 1996.
Wow.
Wings Avalanche brawl, March 26, 97. It's June 7, 97. The 42-year cup drought is over. October 8, 1997, with heavy hearts, Wade Rings raised banner because the wives of Mnatsakhanov and Konstantinov were there. The goalie fight, April 1, 1998, that was Ozzy and Patrick Waugh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing in that story is that the Free Press sports editor was sitting next to Ozzy's mom, who was yelling, "No, Chris, get back in the goal, get back in the goal."
Aww.
And then she covered her eyes
Aww.
While they were fighting. And then she stopped covering her eyes, and then she saw Chris was starting to get on top of one. She said, get him, Chris.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you're going to fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kick his ass.
Wings raised another banner, October 16, 1998. May 31, 2002, Red Wings destroy Avalanche in Game 7 with 9 Hall of Famers and maybe a 10th if Datsyuk makes it. Hockey gods win the cup. And then what else is on there? Yuri Fischer collapses November 21, 2005.
God, yeah.
Whoa, he was actually unconscious for 6 minutes.
That's wild.
It reminds me, it's not in the list. I don't know if anybody remembers, though. It was May 11th.
When I got my hand cut in the door?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
1986?
Yeah, it's the same day that Chris Pronger dropped. He took a puck to the chest.
Oh, yeah.
It was like May 11th, 98, if I remember.
Remember the date? How do you remember the date,
Jay? I was at that game.
Wait, are you one of those Mary Lou Henner memory people?
No.
What were you wearing?
A jersey.
Yeah. Eisenman's 19 Heads of the Rafters, January 2, 2007. Lidstrom's number 5 Heads of the Rafters, March 6, 2014. And the Gordie Howe Visitation, June 14, 2006. That was wild that many people would stand in line to walk by Gordie Howe's. Ooh, that was weird. I'll never forget the Ernie Harwell Visitation.
Long.
Taking pictures.
Well.
So well, people were doing that for Muhammad Ali.
It was
when the casket was being moved like by the crowd.
Yeah.
And people had their iPads, you know, like they're holding a little 13-inch TV up taking a picture of it. I'm like, watch that.
Stupid.
How bum would you be if you went to someone's house like, Drew, man, you guys see this video I took the other day? Check it out. And then they start playing it, and you have to pretend like you give a shit.
Well, I say that about almost everything I see people filming. I'm like, who in the world would ever watch that?
I don't get it. I don't get when you see... I was just talking to my father about this. When you see, like, athletes on a parade, and they're filming stuff, walking into the Olympics, it's like, this is being televised worldwide. Couldn't you just set your DVR and watch that?
Like
it's better production.
10-second video, maybe I could see it.
Like a Snapchat?
Yeah, anything over 10
seconds. God.
Get
in the moment, people.
Just like, this is my perspective. Look at this mascot. That's okay. But like, anything
Joe, over 10
seconds.
Joe, sounds like you've done it.
Are ridiculous.
What was the last thing you filmed out in public?
This deer was about to attack me, so I just filmed that real quick.
Well, now that I want to see.
I
want to see this deer attack you.
The video is not, don't get me wrong, the video is not that cool, but it was standing right next to me.
The megaphone, Joe's on my mic. This time all day.
Where's this deer?
It's not as cool as you think.
No, wait, but you say it's still on your phone.
It still has it.
How many people have you made watch it?
Zero.
Oh.
I think I'm about to delete it.
No, we need to see it.
It's not that.
See, this thing attacks me.
Well, people may be feeding him.
That's it?
It's 10 seconds. You don't need it that long.
Jesus. Did you Snapchat it?
No, I didn't use it on that one for whatever reason.
Do you Snapchat a lot?
No.
To your friends and stuff?
Yeah, my friends do. I only send
By the way, the deer is about 50 yards away, and you can barely see
those
it.
Those cameras always do that.
Oh, whatever.
Always do that.
Makes the deer look further away.
The deer is so small, I thought it was a dog for a second.
It does look farther away than it is, but is literally where that wall is right there.
Oh, man. It's not that big of a deer.
I don't see the peril. I don't know.
Well, not to mention there's a plastic orange fence between you and said deer. That deer would have to break through that fence and attack you.
Joe, remember when you, what was the event? Was it a concert afterwards when that guy went nuts in the restaurant? Remember you telling us about it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I should have filmed that.
Remember my phone was dying. I was on like 1% at the time.
Why'd the guy go ape shit? I forgot.
Because he couldn't get like something on the side or something.
Oh, that's a reasonable response.
Yeah, he just went and then he dumped the chick's tip.
What?
And ripped it across the room.
What an asshole.
Yeah, it was like
a million people in line.
Oh, yeah. It was right after the Broncos Sunday night game home opener against the Lions.
Where at? Oh, I think
right
I
by
know.
The right by the park.
Yeah. The taco joint. I remember that now. Oh, what? God, people are so
good.
Jerks.
We're all good, Jay.
I have two mics.
We got mics galore over here. We're getting another mic, too.
We are?
Yeah, another mic's on the way. And cough buttons.
No way.
Yes.
Awesome.
Real live cough buttons. All right, we'll wrap part one. Part two's coming up, and you heard Mark's incredible tease, of course.
Which and, one? I can't even remember. There were so many.
Aren't you going to tell us about slamming your hand in the door somewhere?
I already talked about that
three times. Yeah.
It was my Joe Louis Arena memory.
Coming up.
See ya.